This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and the message for this particular month is a message that, well, basically the month is June of the year 1995. But I'm making an audio recording of this message, and this is January of the year 2024. So we are looking at roughly about almost 30 years from the time this message was first published until it's being put on audio. And the reason why I'm giving you the dates and times between the printing and the audio recording is that in some messages I make reference to certain incidents or places or things that at that time when it was published, those things were relevant. Whereas today, some of those things may not be relevant anymore because those are in the past and there's no reason to dwell on those things, even though some things may be still around today. But the main thing I want you to understand is this: when it comes to the Word of God, it's always relevant. Yesterday, today, and forever. 24/7. Never changes. It's always the same. Now, our message is going to be taken from Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9 and verse number 27. If you have your Bibles and you have it turned to that chapter, or if you're listening, don't worry about it necessarily unless you just want to check up on me, which is a good thing for you to do. I try to make sure that when I'm giving a message, I give you scriptures that you can go in and read for yourself. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. If you've got some other version of the Bible, then the wording might be a little different. But I stick with the original King James Version, not the New King James, but the original King James Version. Anyway, if you have your Bibles to the scripture, you will find these words recorded. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." The title of this message is, "It's Not Too Late." This message, once again, is from June of the year 1995, and the subject is, "It's Not Too Late." Take notice to this. It will help you to understand something that few people take the time to understand, and that is, man is only here for a little while compared to eternity, and then he dies. Go to James chapter number 4 and verse number 14. I'm not going to read the scripture. You can go and read that for yourself, but like I say, it's a verse of scripture that you can read. All of the efforts to find out how to live longer are fruitless. Sooner or later, you, just like me, will die. No man can stop it. That is what God told Adam when he warned him what would happen if he ate the fruit from the forbidden tree, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 17. And just for a note, you hear this all the time, but it's not true. It was not an apple that he ate. It was a fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Going on. God had originally intended for man to live for eternity, but he, Adam, blew it. No, ladies, it wasn't Eve's fault, even though she shares in some of the blame. But the punishment of death came about because of what Adam did. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, and Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Therefore, it was appointed unto man to die because of his, Adam's, disobedience. Also, notice this. It says man is to die once. That means that there is no such thing as your being alive in another life. This is the only life you will ever have as far as being flesh and blood is concerned. So you need to make the best of it. For it is what you do in this life that will determine what will happen to you after this life is ended. If you blow it, that's too bad. Why? Because the verse says, after you die, then there is the judgment. And this is what I want to focus on this month. There is a saying that is very popular among us as it pertains to heaven and hell. It goes like this. Heaven and hell are here on earth. That saying is flawed. If you are going to say anything concerning those two things, it should be you prepare for heaven or hell here on earth. That's right. As long as you are alive, everything you say, everything you do, everything you think puts you on a path that will lead you either to heaven or hell. That choice is totally up to you. Many people today think that the total accumulation of what they have done over their entire lives makes the end result. You know, if they have done more good than bad, then they will get into heaven. If they have done more bad than good, they will go to hell. Many times, we get in the habit of saying something like this. That person has done so much evil that they will never get into heaven. When we do this, many times that person, feeling that no matter what they do, they will never make it into heaven, begins to pursue a course of self-destruction simply to have as much of a good time as they can while they are still alive. Look at our young people today. They have little hope of living past 25 or so, according to the statistics on the life expectancy of today's youth, especially our black youth. So what happens? They go about life with reckless abandon. If it feels good, do it. Trying to get all the best that life has to offer into their short lives. They have to have a lot of money, fancy cars, a nice woman, or a handsome Billy D looking or Denzel Washington looking man, and even a child. They don't think about saving any money. They spend every dime they get. Getting a good education is out of the question, all because they have no hope of living to be old. They just don't care. Let's look at the gay community for a minute. If ever there were a group of people that see their situation as hopeless, it is the gay community. The message that many of them have been getting is that they are going to go to hell no matter what they do. There is no way for them to come to God. Therefore, they pursue their lifestyle with total, reckless, and even suicidal abandon. AIDS is wiping them out at a far higher rate than in the heterosexual community. At last count, 85% of all the AIDS cases recorded in this country are attributed to the homosexuals. See, this is one of those statistics that was relevant back then. I think the number has gone down since then, since there's medications now that have basically curtailed or lengthened the life expectancy of somebody that has AIDS. It's still not cured, but it's better. But anyway, this is one of those things, like I said, the statistics that that's why I gave you the dates and times between what I wrote then and what's being recorded now. But let's go on. Like I said, at least 85% of all the AIDS cases that were recorded in this country were attributed to homosexuals. Yet, they only make up about 6% of the population. Despite all the warnings about engaging in unprotected sex, this type God calls an abomination. Leviticus 18 and 22 and Leviticus 20 and 13 addresses this issue as far as is homosexuality being an abomination. And despite the warning about what the Bible says, they don't care and do it without protection. They rebel against anything that has the smell of God in it. That includes the church, Christians, the Bible, and morality. Some have actually started their own churches where they preach that God made them the way that they are, and that it is those that preach against their lifestyle that are wrong, or that are the sinners, or that are the ones that are being ungodly. They perform weddings, They have forced the courts to allow them to adopt children. On and on it goes. Why? Because they feel shut out from God. Now, this is due in large part because some Christians have made them feel like this. Yet, even in the midst of all this, God still has His hand out to them. It is not too late for any of them to come to Him and be forgiven. If He will do this for them, He can do it for you. Jesus came to save you, no matter how far down into sin He has to reach to bring you out. Go to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. That is what this message is all about. Regardless of how long or how many sins you have committed, as long as you are alive, it is not too late for you to be redeemed. There is no amount of sins that can't be forgiven except one, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And to commit that, you quite literally have to be one that knows the ways of God and then attack the Holy Spirit by attributing His works as being of the devil. All other things can be forgiven if only you will realize your wrongdoing and repent. To show you just how far God will go to save you, think about this for a moment. The person or persons responsible for the bombing of Oklahoma City, the bombing in Oklahoma City that killed so many people, including children, and has wrecked untold hundreds or thousands of lives, can still make it into heaven if only they will repent and ask Jesus to come into their lives. I even go so far to say this. Even Adolf Hitler, and everybody knows who Adolf Hitler was, could possibly be in heaven if before he died, he repented of his sin and asked Jesus to come into his heart. Now, you know, if he can forgive Hitler and Hitler could be in heaven, then he can certainly do it for you, because you ain't nowhere near as bad as he was. You see, now getting back to the message, you see, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance is what it is all about. And that repentance must be done before you die. There is no chance of doing it after you die and find out everything that you have been saying, that you have said about God, is true. It is just like working 1 week and getting paid the next week. You put in your hours for 1 week, and the next week you get paid for those hours. You can't work 25 hours 1 week and on payday the following week tell the paymaster to give you 40 hours pay, can you? You have to do what is necessary to get a 40-hour check during that particular week. Once that week is over, you will only get what you have on record. Note, even though I am using work as an example, you can't work your way into heaven. It's just like a person walking into a big department store and seeing things laying all over the floor that should be on the shelves, and picking them up and putting them where they belong. Now, just because you did something that the employees of that store should be doing doesn't mean that you can go to the manager of that store and expect to get paid for doing it. If they weren't hired by one of the store to do that work, then the store owes them nothing. In other words, if you walk into a Walmart or something and you see some toys laying on the floor or something like that that should be up on the shelves, and you pick up the toys and put them on the shelves and things and just walk around the store and you see stuff laying around, you put things back on the shelves and things because no employee is around, you can't go to the manager of the store and say you expect the manager to pay you because you did the work of the employee. The only way the store would owe you some money is if you had been hired by the store. You get the point? Now, where was I? Oh. Anyone can be saved no matter how evil they may be. You can't, like I said, you can't get rewarded to go to heaven by Christ because you do things that Christ tells Christians that they should be doing. You know, Christ gives the examples of the fact that you should be out here doing good, you know, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, providing shelter for the homeless, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A lot of people do all that type of work, but there's one thing wrong. They aren't saved. And see, because they aren't saved, that means that what all this good stuff that they're doing, it's good, and God might bless them with some things here in this life, but that's not going to get them into heaven. Like I say, anyone can be saved no matter how evil they may be. Because you look at even some evil people out here, they know how to do good to their friends and things like that. But that's not going to get them into heaven. You have to be, well, let's go a little further. As I was saying, it all starts with being saved. But like the Apostle Paul says this of himself, when I'm talking about no matter how evil a person is, Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You can find that in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 15. What he is saying is that he was the worst that there was, the worst of the worst. You've heard about the time in life in the past where when the church was first being formed and people were going around fighting, especially the Romans and things, fighting against this new upstart group called Christianity, and how they would capture them and take them and put them in lions' dens or put them out in the Colosseum and turn lions and things loose on them and basically kill as many of them as possible. And they did it for sports. You know, people would come to the Colosseum, pay to, well, I don't even know whether they paid. They probably got in for free just to sit up there and watch these lions kill these people that call themselves Christians and so forth. And Paul was one of the chief people who went around finding out who these people were, capturing them, bringing them to face trial, and then being sentenced to death and so forth. Paul was the leader of that group. And now Paul winds up being one of those that he was crucifying and being murdered and so forth. And God, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So this is what can happen when God can change you, no matter how bad it is. Because what he was saying is that he was the worst that there was. And what he did, and what did God do to him? Only made him the greatest apostle to the Gentiles. Took him from the guttermost and raised him to the uttermost. Took him out of the valley of sin and put him on the mountain of righteousness. He can do the same for you. As far as where you have to go to get saved, you can do it right now, right where you are. All you have to do is pray this prayer from the heart, meaning every word. Just repeating the words won't do it. You have to have it from the heart. But anyway, just say, Jesus, I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sinful ways. Come into my heart and cleanse me from all my sin and be Lord of my life. I accept you as Lord and Savior, and with your help, I will live my life for you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. Now remember this. Amen. Now remember this. If you prayed that prayer from the heart, meaning every word, congratulations, you are now saved. The next thing that you need to do is start learning about what God wants you to begin doing. Among these things is to get water baptized in the name of Jesus as a symbolic act of your remission of your sins and your obedience to His word. Also, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which will be the evidence of God's power being given to you as recorded in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Well, that's the end of this message, and I hope you got something from that. Just remember this. I don't care who you are or how bad you've been. God still has the door open to you as long as you still have breath in your body. Once you die, it's time for your paycheck. You're going to get paid one way or the other, and hopefully your payday will be eternity with Him in heaven. But of course, you can be hard-headed if you want. When payday time comes, you draw that last breath, you're going to find out that all of what these preachers and people like myself have been telling you is true, but it's going to be too late. Take advantage of it while you have the opportunity to do so. This evangelist George McTyre wishing you and your, may you and your family be blessed and prosper. May God bless you real good. And until next time, good day.